Let's talk about peace, finding peace in your life. How do we find that peace? What does the Bible have to say about it? Well, there's a very important and good passage in Philippians. We've read from Philippians twice already this morning. Now we go to chapter 4, and beginning with verse 4 and going through verse 9. Okay, just listen, if you would, please. If you don't get something out of this, or Paul says, here's some ways to find peace. It says there, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, get that? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You want to find peace? Listen to verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I hope you know by now there is a big difference between happiness and peace. There's a big difference between being happy and finding genuine peace, that kind of peace that passes understanding that Paul was talking about. You see, happiness is often confused with inner peace. And people think they are the same, but they're not. Because you see, a person can be having absolutely miserable experiences, have bad stuff happening to him or her, and yet they can still have an inner peace, even in spite of tough times. Have you ever seen somebody who's going through the loss of a loved one? Somebody died? Or they've lost their career? Or maybe they've lost a particular belief, or they're in the middle of a health crisis, but they still exude a kind of inner peace. I think of Rachel Gammon. Rachel Gammon was a member of a church in Danville when I first was serving that church, way back in 1978. Her husband died very suddenly in an accident at the home. Fell off a ladder, hit the concrete on his head, killed him instantly. Going to see Rachel, I was expecting a woman to be falling apart, just crying, being super emotional. Who wouldn't be? But she was calm, she was accepting, she was understanding, and it was a tremendous insight to know that Rachel's only child had died about 2 years earlier in an accident in the military. And I thought, there's something wrong with this woman. But there wasn't anything wrong with her. It was everything that was right. She had an inner peace, a tremendous faith that just trusted God with this disaster and everyone that had ever come her way. When you meet somebody like that, you remember him or her, don't you? Because they have inner peace. They have a way of graciously accepting what is, as opposed to demanding and saying, no, this isn't right. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. And getting angry and upset and just fighting it. People who have an inner peace are able to accept, well, this is the way it is. In another part of the Philippian letter, you know, Paul talked about a similar thing. He said, you know, I've discovered it's not the outward circumstances that determine my inner peace. But I've had a lot and been happy. I've had very, very little. in the term of resources or finances, but I have found out how to be content in all circumstances. A lot of us are under the impression that if the things outside of us or around us are all in sync, in gear, and in step with what we want, then we'll be happy and then we'll have peace. Bible says it doesn't work that way. It's not the outside circumstances. It's what's inside. You have or find the peace here, and it doesn't really matter as much what's going on out here. That may be hard to fathom, but that is true. Because happiness is that shallow, temporary fix. Happiness often depends on how much stuff we have, right? Or what our position is. Or how comfortable we are with life and how life is treating us. Then we're happy. But peace is that ability to say, things are the way they are, but I'm at peace. I'm at peace with God, I'm at peace with myself, I'm at peace with others. And it doesn't matter what life does to me. It doesn't matter much at all. So I'd like to share with you not everything there is to know about how to find peace right now, because that's not possible, but just a few things I'll throw out for you today. If I threw out 16 things at you, you wouldn't remember them, right? But maybe one or two. Nobody can remember a whole lot at one time. And in the weeks ahead, I'll be talking about this, especially in finding peace right now. Not in the future or not in the past, but right now. One good way to find peace is not to be so quick to judge what is good and what is bad. Because very often we can't tell whether something happening to us in our lives is good or bad. Dennis Deal is a Christian counselor, and he keeps a saying on the place on his workplace. And it's in a frame, nicely framed, and it simply says, it's not good, it's not bad, it just is. People come to him with their problems. They see that plaque on the wall. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. And most everybody will say, hey, I like that. Although they're not exactly sure why they like it. But Deal thinks it's because deep down inside, we all know that we can't judge how something's going to work out, no matter how bad it might seem or how good it might seem. It seems that one day, one of his clients was looking at the plaque and touched it, and it fell and just cracked the glass all the way across it there. And she brought it to Deal. She was in tears, and she was apologizing, so very, very sorry. But Deal said to her, well, honey, just read it. And she read it. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. And then he told her with a smile that she made it better. She made the picture better by cracking it. The glass cracked all the way across. And he said, now that's a more perfect truth than it was when it was hanging there before. And she told him she thought he was crazy, but she understood what he was trying to say. He hung it back on the wall, and now when his clients look at it, they think that it was there intentionally with the crack across it. Because it did fulfill the meaning. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. Who's to say what is good or bad? Often what we say, oh, this is bad. This is terrible. It turns out to be a teaching moment in our lives. And we learn something we wouldn't have learned if it hadn't been for that bad thing to come our way. Or it becomes an opportunity. Man, that door slammed in my face. And I thought that was the worst disaster that could befall me. But lo and behold, that made me turn around and I found this door open here. And it was much better than the door that slammed in my face. A number of years ago, there was a man who on a Monday night in September went out to a New York restaurant to celebrate his anniversary with his wife. They had a very nice meal, but that night he had the worst stomach cramps. He woke up the next morning. He was just as sick as a dog, stomach cramps, and spent the whole morning in the bathroom. couldn't go to work. He wanted to go to work very badly that day, but he couldn't go. And that Tuesday morning was September 11th, 2001. And his desk was located exactly where the first plane hit the World Trade Center tower. So what he thought was so bad, being so sick, ended up being something so very, very good. His life was spared. Now, I suspect that you have situations in your life you look back on and you say, you know, what I thought was so bad was really so good, and something I thought was really, really good turned out to be something bad. In Philippians, the second chapter, if you go back and read it there, Paul said, you know, I thought being in prison was really bad, and a prison in those days was a really bad experience. But you know what? I found out that my being in prison has turned out for something good. What could possibly be good about Paul being in prison? He said, my being in prison has made the other believers really, really bold about sharing the gospel. And they're out there sharing the message now because of my imprisonment. Here's another example where Paul could say something I thought was bad turns out to be something very, very good. Even a truly bad experience can force us to let go of our illusions, let go of falsehoods, let go of false concepts that we have. A bad experience can make us more real. A bad experience can make us more humble. I know when I've made mistakes or misspoken or been embarrassed about something I've done, boy, that's taught me to be a lot more humble than I did if I was doing great or having success. It really is a good teacher. And you see, all of us have this ego. All of us have this unconscious running mind that views ourselves as being unique, you know? Being separate from anyone and everyone else. And the ego has a tendency to treat everybody else and everything else as being a threat, you know? And our egos tend to think that we can only survive if we are in control, if we have power, if we attack, those kind of things. Now, egos will run and egos will ruin organizations, governments, and businesses, and yes, egos will even ruin churches. Really will. Because all egos are a conflict of egos and the need to be right. What if we give up the need to be right? I don't have to be right. Well, then you're at peace with yourself and you're at peace with others as well. Now, Eckhart Tolle wrote a book called The Power of Now, and he sums this up nicely. He says, when two or more egos come together, drama of some kind or another ensues. But even if you live totally alone, you still create your own drama. When you feel sorry for yourself, that's drama. When you feel guilty or anxious, that's drama. When you let the past or future obscure the present, you are creating the stuff of which drama is made. Whenever you are not honoring the present moment by allowing it to be, you are creating drama. Most people are in love with their particular life drama. Their story is their particular life drama. When you live with complete acceptance of what is, that is the end of drama in your life. Do you hear it? Just accepting what is goes a long way in you finding peace. Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with other people. Is this easy? No, it's extremely difficult, but it is one key for finding true peace. You see, if we enjoy the drama, it can define who we are, and it's constantly spinning the past and churning up the past and all these bad things that have happened to me. And it's not in the past anymore, is it? It's in the present with you because you're still spinning it. You're still experiencing the pain. You haven't let it go. You haven't let it go at all. And that's another key for finding peace is let it go. The stuff that happened in the past is in the past. It doesn't exist anymore except right here. And you bring it with you. You drag it with you. And you spin it. And you experience the pain right here and right now. Do you know anybody who's a hoarder? H-O-A-R-D-E-R, a hoarder. Now, I know some pack rats, you know. Some of you are pack rats. You hang on to everything you got, right? But there are hoarders who absolutely cannot throw away anything. I've read about them. Maybe you've seen specials on TV about them. There are people, they save every magazine, every newspaper, every empty bottle they ever own, and they stack it up in their houses, and pretty soon you can't walk through their house except in one little narrow place because they've got all this stuff. They can't let go. They can't throw it away. It is a mental illness, really. It's a problem. But it's not a whole lot different from your mind if you hang on to all this stuff, all this clutter, all this junk that happened to you, even the bad stuff. You keep it, and you keep going to it, and you keep going through it, and you keep mulling it over in your mind because you're hoarding bad experiences. How much healthier just to let it go? Let it go. We all know people who, if they didn't have their illnesses, their negativity, their complaints, their problems, they wouldn't know what to do. It defines who they are. And if you solve the problems or they got rid of the complaint, you know what they'd do? They'd go find some other problems, some other negativity, some other complaint, because that defines who they are. That's not a good way to find peace. That's not a good way to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was absolutely enlightened. He was conscious. He was present. Do you hear what Paul said to the Philippians? He said, you know, forgetting what lies behind, I press on toward the upward call in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had what to say about the present? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries for itself. He said, just don't worry about it. And the Bible says, don't have any anxiety about anything. Just give it over to Christ. Christ actually is not going to hang on to it. He's not going to worry about it because he's living in the ever-present now. Living for right now is a key for feeling the peace that passes understanding. Jesus was enlightened. It literally means, enlightenment means lighten up. Jesus didn't carry a lot of stuff with him. Jesus didn't hang on to a lot of things at all. He just hung on to people. He just hung on to us. And that's something we ought to do too. Let go of the negativity. Let go of the drama. Get out of the unmanageable past and let go of the fearful future. You don't need either one. But let's find peace right now.